Hi, I'm Dr. Patricia Grabarek.
And I'm Dr. Katina Sawyer. And together we are Worker Being and the co-authors of Leading for Wellness.
We are excited to be here on Book Bites to share the five key insights from our book.
Insight number one, workplace wellness matters. When leaders support employee wellness, employees are healthier, perform better, achieve their goals, and are more committed to their work. In addition, when employees feel better, they're also more committed to the supportive leaders and team members who help them to feel that way. In turn, they help leaders achieve their goals, band together with others to tackle challenges, and ultimately create more innovative and productive workplaces. Yet organizations struggle to support employee well-being. A recent Gallup poll found that employee engagement has sunken to an all-time low, with only 31% of employees reporting that they are engaged at work. What's worse is that not engaged or actively disengaged employees account for approximately $1.9 trillion in lost productivity nationally. This demonstrates that caring for employees' well-being and improving the bottom line are goals that align with one another. They aren't at odds. Companies that view dedicating time and money to employee health and wellness as integral to driving performance do better. It's as simple as that. Even better, improving employee wellness can also boost organizational profitability and have a broader positive impact on society. Happy, healthy employees bring positivity to their communities, making the world a better place. So what is the key to becoming a company where everyone can thrive and perform at their best? In our research, time and again, the same answer emerged. Leaders are the key to driving employee well-being. While most organizations invest their wellness dollars in step challenges and mindfulness programs or team-building events, we find that it's the day-to-day experiences that employees have with their leaders that really matter. We call the leaders who promote these healthy and well workplaces while also driving results generators. And we call the leaders who do the opposite extinguishers. They deplete workplaces of energy and diminish their team's well-being. The goal is to become a generator, the kind of leader employees want to work for and who you can be proud to be. The next four insights will help you get started on becoming one.
Insight number two, no one wants a superhero. Employees don't want superheroes for leaders. Employees want authenticity from their leaders. In other words, they're looking for people who show their true selves at work. They do not trust inauthentic leaders who seem to put on a facade when they come to work. Employees trust authentic ones because they believe these leaders are more willing to be transparent and honest no matter the situation. Employees can be better at predicting how their leader will behave, and this predictability makes employees more likely to take risks by sharing their own truth and by raising important issues to those good leaders who would want to have that on their radar. As a result, employees with authentic leaders perform better, are more productive, are more engaged, and have better well-being. So let's talk about an example of a leader named Melanie, who is a senior executive at a telecommunications company. We interviewed her for our research, and she described herself as having been a leader that always had her game face on. She admitted that she started her leadership journey as a no-nonsense leader. She actually believed that her team would find comfort in her tough exterior when things were getting stressful or hard, that she could be a rock that they could depend on. Instead, she learned that if her team members were struggling with something, they wouldn't bring it up to her. They were thought that her perfect exterior made her unapproachable. She told us everything changed for her after struggling through an unimaginable tragedy in her family. Her youngest sibling was murdered in a horrific random act of violence. This obviously impacted her greatly, but she continued to show up at work, hiding her true self and emotional state. Even though she was doing her best to hide her experience and feelings, her team could tell that something was off. She was falling apart inside, and others could sense that shift. Then, one day, a campaign started around the company to support mental health, where other leaders started sharing their struggles. They were vulnerable with the whole organization. She actually appreciated their openness, seeing them differently and as whole, complex people for the first time. Melanie began to wonder if her team would appreciate her more if she did the same. In her next team meeting, an employee shared that they were dealing with a challenge that could derail an entire project. In that moment, Melanie felt overwhelmed with the information, and she decided to take a pause. That time, she told the team that she appreciated all of their hard work, but that she was having a reaction to this new information because of the struggles she'd been hiding in her personal life. She then proceeded to tell the team what she's been going through and how hard it's been and how it's been impacting her and her work. To Melanie's surprise, the team quickly rallied around her. They showed empathy and compassion. They stepped up and they really wanted to help her as she was navigating her loss. The team was more than willing to accept her as an imperfect leader versus the perfect one she tried to portray. The team culture shifted that day. Other people began to open up. They would flag challenges and issues as they happened. They were more willing to ask for help and give support to other team members as authenticity and vulnerability became the norm. In the book, we actually teach leaders to write struggle statements. Struggle statements are simple tools that can help you communicate a set of challenges or difficulties that you're facing at work, both past and present. When you're open about those struggles, your employees can build their trust in you, and your openness can help them open up to you. And as we said before, the situation is great for employees and for leaders because when teams are open about their struggles, they are able to do so in a way that will be more productive. People can address the challenges and issues. They do so, they share those struggles because they're in a safe and supportive environment. And again, it helps them become more productive and higher performing.
Insight number three, it's the tone, not the time. Being a role model for balancing work and life, along with showing positivity and gratitude towards your team members, can help inspire employees to follow your example. Positivity and gratitude are both contagious. When leaders share these sentiments with their employees, those employees start to spread it to others. One of our favorite examples involves a leader who made it a point to spread positivity and gratitude to his team while taking into account the distractions and challenges that often get in well-intentioned leaders' way. To make sure he remembered to show gratitude to his team, he would put 3 coins in his left pocket at the start of each day. And each time he told someone on his team that they were valued or thanked them for their efforts that day, he moved a coin to the other pocket. The physical reminder to show gratitude kept him on track and made sure he lived out his intentions. After a while, though, he didn't need the coins. His gratitude practice had become a habit. And even better, he noticed that his employees were paying it forward to one another. With this small shift in his behavior, he had created lasting change in his team culture. Employees are motivated to help each other out if they see you and other team members doing the same thing. Generators create cultures of work-life balance, positivity, gratitude, and helping. These cultures save them time as team members themselves begin to practice good behaviors. And this means that leaders themselves don't have to be the sole architects or reinforcers of the culture. Instead, employees become cultural caretakers, so leaders are freed up to focus on other things. In addition to spreading gratitude and positivity, generators also understand how to become confidants to their employees quickly and meaningfully. To do so, they leverage what we coined as the SWIFT process. SWIFT includes setting aside time for relationship building sprints, welcoming others warmly, intentionally inquiring about employees' lives, following up with appropriate questions to dig deeper, and taking time to reflect on how to improve relationships with employees. By creating a positive team environment and building strong relationships with employees, generators set the right tone for their team, focusing on the quality of the work experience as opposed to being so narrowly focused on what many leaders focus on, how many hours they and others have worked as a measure of their success or productivity.
Insight number four, work should support life. Work should support life instead of the other way around. As a leader, it's important to be elastic. By demonstrating flexibility and recognizing that your way isn't right for everyone. It's also important to learn the skills of protecting and respecting employees' boundaries between work and life. Generators are boundary bouncers. They help employees set boundaries, serve to enforce those boundaries, and block employees from people or situations that violate boundaries. Boundary bouncers also protect their own boundaries by leading by example. Generators value work-life balance and recognize that employees' preferences for how to balance their work and their lives may be different from their own and other employees. For example, people differ in their preference for integrating or segmenting work. Segmenters like to keep work and life separate. These are the employees who like to put in their 9-to-5 and then fully stop working at the end of the day. They don't like it when their personal life bleeds into their work life and vice versa. When they're working, they want to focus on work. And when they are away from work, being pinged by someone at work is particularly stressful. On the other hand, some people prefer to integrate their work and life. Katina and I both actually have this preference for integration. We're happy to shift between both domains throughout the day. So integrators might take a few meetings in the morning, then do a workout at lunch, followed by another meeting. After that, they might do laundry, complete a few work tasks. They may pause around 5 to spend time with family and grab dinner, but then log back in for an hour at 7 to finish a couple tasks. They shift between work and personal life seamlessly, and it helps their productivity. Both types of people, segmenters and integrators, can be equally productive and high-performing. It's simply an example of one preference that can shape how people work. Generators create work environments that better match employees' unique needs and preferences in managing their work and life. When generators earn employees' trust, They make employees feel cared for and act in ways that honor employees' preferences and needs for managing work and life. They actually can help retain their employees longer through being flexible.
Insight number 5, one size doesn't fit all. One size doesn't fit all when it comes to wellness. We found that generators recognize this and engage in what we call person-centered planning, a practice centered on the famous work of psychologist Carl Rogers, who used it in a clinical setting. Engaged in person-centered planning, generators help their employees find solutions that are tailored to their real wellness needs, which can vary significantly from employee to employee. Person-centered planning is effective because it helps leaders to get to the root of the actual problems that employees are facing so that solutions can be tailored to their needs and thus be more effective. Consider this example. An employee, Ali, struggles with being organized. His leader, Marta, is very skilled at organization and easily structures her workday, assignments, and deadlines. If Ali shares with Marta that he's struggling with being organized, she might naturally assume that he just isn't putting in the effort. She might also assume that tips or strategies that help her to stay organized will automatically work for Ali. Ali's confidence might decrease as he is overlooked for opportunities, or he might take her advice and follow similar strategies that she has, but without getting the same results. Instead, if Marta engaged in person-centered planning, she would follow 3 steps. First, Marta would provoke honest and transparent responses. She would create an open and comfortable environment for Ali to share what's getting in his way when it comes to his organizational skills. Second, she would suspend judgment. Even if Ali's situation doesn't resonate with her own experience, she'll listen and validate his perspective, recognizing that she's likely struggled with things before that others have found easy. Finally, she would show empathy by working with Ali to come up with solutions that will work for him, recognizing that what works for her isn't a panacea. Instead of feeling for Ali, she will enter into feeling with Ali, invoking a more collaborative and unified stance towards solving his problem. This 3-part process helps employees feel safe when sharing their real wellness struggles, and it allows leaders to truly hear and respond to their challenges in ways that will drive more effective long-term solutions. It's important to recognize that taking a person-centered approach also requires that leaders start to chip away at mental health stigma at work. Generators are vulnerable about their own mental health challenges, speak inclusively about mental health, and use experts to help their teams understand mental health more deeply. Reducing this stigma is another way that generators learn what employees really need and allow these employees to gain true acceptance and validation from their teams.
In the book, we provide lots of details on how to create an action plan to become a generator.
We hope you'll take actions to become a generator, and we hope you enjoy the book.
Thanks for listening.